So this year marks the 100th anniversary of the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre, commonly referred to as the Riot on Black Wall Street. In season 3 of our podcast, we covered a book by Hannibal Johnson entitled Black Wall Street: From Rise to Renaissance, and it's powerful. It taught us a lot of things that we didn't even know. So today we're going to flashback to episode 1 from season 3. Feel free to go back to season 3 and listen to the complete series. I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed.
The big question, or the big comment, is, hey man, let's build another Black Wall Street. Mm-hmm. You know, why we can't do another Black Wall Street? But right. In real world, what would that really look like? Because mm-hmm. them boys had real life assets. They had real estate. They had companies.
Serial entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Like
transportation. They owned the transportation.
Yeah. They had real infrastructure. Not the infrastructure that Trump been promising you for the last 4 years. No, they had some real infrastructure.
Right, right.
What up, what up? This is the Literacy Kings podcast. My name is Corey Paul, rapper, creative, and entrepreneur.
And I'm Jamarcus Traham, a.k.a. Jay with the NBA, investor and teacher.
Hey, man, we grew up in a neighborhood with like a 40% dropout rate and didn't read a book until we was grown men. But once we did, it changed our lives. So now, we breaking down books to build up culture. We are
the Literacy Kings.
Now, reading is fundamental.
What up, what up? This is the Literacy Kings podcast, and this is season 3, man. If this is your first time, welcome. We appreciate y'all stopping. If you are a Literacy King OG, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then this is season 3.
Yep,
and,
yep.
You back home. You with family. Our first season was the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Our second season was Money Circulation. And our third season will be about Black Wall Street, a book about Black Wall Street from Riot to Renaissance. And we beyond excited to present that, man. But before we can go any farther, Jay, how you feeling, baby?
Oh yeah, we finna turn up. You know what I'm saying? We're about to get into it. The boy Hannibal Johnson wrote a brilliant piece on the Black Wall Street. There's so much information out there, man. But going through this, I realized it was a lot of stuff about it I didn't know. A lot of technical things, a lot of things I didn't really consider. You know, so I learned a lot, man, just going through this book, man. And hopefully you guys can ride with us. And you'll learn a lot too about what you didn't know about the Black Wall Street.
Yeah. So if you've never heard of Black Wall Street, so Black Wall Street was the name of the Greenwood District in Tulsa, Oklahoma, back in the early 1900s. And it got its name. Legend has it, it got its name from Booker T. Washington, that he gave it the name, the Negro Wall Street or Black Wall Street. Because it was so many entrepreneurs and investors, and they had the top producing concentrated area for Black people at right. that time, and so this was Black Wall Street. And usually the only thing you know about it is it was popping. And then the Klan and a bunch of white people came and burned it down, right?
Right.
That's usually the basis of it.
All I knew before I read this book.
When did you first hear about Black Wall Street? Just period. Just in life.
Well, I remember The Game had a record label called Black Wall Street. But yeah. I ain't take him serious. You know what I'm saying? He gang banging and all that. I ain't take that serious.
Right.
I think I was watching a documentary about Durham, North Carolina, and it mentioned the Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah. I see. Yeah, I was definitely a grown man. I can't
yeah, I was
remember
grown.
Exactly,
yeah, I was grown.
You know, but I was a grown man when I heard about it. Mm-hmm. So in the book, what you find out is what was happening before Black Wall Street was created, how it was created, why it was created, the what supported it, the tensions that were rising in Tulsa and the surrounding area before before Black Wall Street, the riot and massacre, you know, happened. The exact details of why it did happen. Now, we can't say getting too deep into the book that Black Wall Street was popping and ultimately the demise of Black Wall Street was kind of they made up a tipping point of all the hate they had.
Yeah.
That's safe to say, right? They had already been hating on them. And
it just didn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah. They was already hating on, Black people getting money like that. They created a tipping point. They created, a reason that was false, 100% false to go and burn it down.
Right.
And that's exactly what they did. They burnt it down. They torched it. They destroyed
firebomb.
Yeah. Houses, cars, property, people, everything. Mm-hmm. And the significance of Black Wall Street is... it's amazing because me and Jay telling you, like, we ain't even hear about it until we were adults.
Right.
You feel me? And so understanding that Black people had came together to build this profitable community, that shouldn't be news to us as grown men. You feel what I'm saying? Right. Like, we early exposure.
We can stick together.
You feel what I'm saying? We can and have ownership. You know what I'm
Nobody
saying?
Hating on each other, undercutting each other?
Yeah. You feel me?
Oh, okay.
Boys is shining, and this was before rap. This was before rap and football. You know what I'm saying? Jump shots crack and
rock.
Crack rock.
Yeah, it was like crack rock and a jump shot.
Yeah, this was before that. And boys was getting, getting money. Boys had private planes.
Planes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, So they was really getting money and building assets, mm-hmm. on Black Wall Street. And a lot of times we have never heard of it before. And so it's deeper than just, oh yeah, some Black people came together and they was just getting money. It was how they did it, why they did it, the foundation that they built it on, So I guess a question is, why Black Wall Street? On this first episode, we just giving an overview of why Black Wall Street as a book, some of the popular information and different things that are going around the history of Black Wall Street and the concept of a new Black Wall Street, and then kind of some things to look forward to as we begin, our journey through the chapters. So, Jay, why Black Wall Street? Why did you want to do Black Wall Street? We both came to that decision, but what was your motivation?
I wanted to do it because I know that we would dive all the way in. Most of the time when you hear about Black Wall Street, it's surface level.
Right, right.
They was getting money. They got bombed. Mm-hmm. City ain't been the same since.
Right, right, right.
Well, diving in this book, it's like, that's not it at all.
Right, right.
You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right,
I was right. Like, whoa.
Right.
And then also I had found out that the Gap Band with Charlie Wilson and all them. Mm. The Gap Band, I didn't know the Gap Band. First of all, I didn't know they was from Tulsa.
Right, me either.
I didn't know they was from Tulsa. Yeah. Gap stands for Greenwood, Archer, and Pine.
Didn't know that.
Streets. In the neighborhood.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right,
see,
right.
Well, everybody know what Greenwood is, but like reading this book, Archer was an intersection with Greenwood, Archer, and Pine was another street that was in that district.
Man, that's dope.
So, and then you dropped a bomb on me. I remember singing at it in the back of my mama's car. You dropped a bomb on me, baby.
Yeah.
That just show you the significance of they found a way to capitalize on and make money off of something that tore up the fabric of that neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, that just showed the genius of our people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Fortitude.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Me either.
Maybe when I heard you dropped a bomb on me, maybe I should have been really, really educated on what that really meant.
Right, 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 right.
Like, why didn't nobody at the radio station?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Put that out there. Just the meaning behind this. Why I didn't hear no interview?
Right.
Nothing like that.
Right.
oh yeah, this is our platform. We use this song, mm-hmm. popularized it, but we want to bring attention to what happened in our neighborhood, exactly. you know, before we were born.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That would have been dope.
That would have been real dope. That would have been real dope. Yeah, because it's cultural. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I love that, bro. So my reason was, I feel like a lot of time, especially as black people, when we are ignorant to our history, it's oftentimes because they people in power have tried to erase it. You know what I mean? They don't want us to know the true power that we have and the things that we have accomplished, right? So as I dove more into Black Wall Street and the history, I'm like, man, I want to do this book because I want people to see not what we're trying to do, what we've already done, what we've already accomplished. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so I feel oftentimes the misconception of, you know, is painted about, you know, black people in our culture about, you know, whether we don't stick together or we don't spend money with each other or, you know, we crabs in the bucket or whatever, you know, they try to spin. The part they don't tell you is how all the times that we were sticking together and we were doing things in a positive, progressive manner, and they blew it up. You know what I'm saying?
You'll be surprised how many times this has happened.
Exactly. Yeah.
Tulsa is one of the more popular ones.
Yeah.
But this has happened all over the country. This has happened in Chicago.
Yeah.
North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Detroit. This mm-hmm. has happened a lot of mm-hmm. places, bro. That's mm-hmm. another thing that I learned on our journey with this book. Like, man,
yeah, bro.
This
yeah.
happened a lot.
Mm-hmm. Florida. Remember they talked mm-hmm. about the massacre down mm-hmm. in South Florida. Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, Jay. Look, if we are cooling, then I blow up the hood and tell the people that's remaining get it out the rubble. You know what I'm saying? You don't think that's gonna? What you think we're gonna be able to be peaceful and, you know, just go about it the same way we was before when now people starving because we trying to get it out of, you know, the bottom of poverty? Like, I feel like all of these things matter, and without understanding our history, it's hard to see how powerful our present is and how powerful the future can be. You feel mm-hmm. me? Yeah. So that's why. Now, in the book Black Wall Street, it's broken down into four parts. It's the roots. It's the roots of Black Wall Street. Mm-hmm. It's the riot. Mm-hmm. And then what is it, Jay? It's the regeneration.
Regeneration and renaissance.
Renaissance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Regeneration, then renaissance. And so that's what's dope about it. So as we go through the podcast, we're not gonna just leave you with that's what happened and then you know it was over. Like the author Hannibal does a great job of, you know, post, you know, what mm-hmm. what happened after and, you know, what was supposed to happen and didn't, and recognition of other events, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. Post and prior. So it's really in depth when it comes down to it. And so I feel like that kind of layout is beautiful, and it brings me to the kind of the hot button question. Is the big question or the big comment is, hey man, let's build another Black Wall Street. Mm-hmm. You know, why we can't do another Black Wall Street? And so the hopes is through the show, that won't have to be a question or a comment. It will be you can actually look at exactly what was done. And in the real world, not on Instagram, but right. in real world, what would that really look like? Because mm-hmm. them boys had real life assets. They had real estate. They had companies. They had, you know what I mean? It mm-hmm. was systems.
Serial entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Serial. Like
transportation. They own mm-hmm. the transportation
yeah.
in Greenwood. They own the boarding houses. You know what I'm saying?
Infrastructure. They had real infrastructure. Not the infrastructure that Trump been promising you for the last 4 years. No, they had some real infrastructure.
Right, for real. Yeah, you know. So it's a few things right now that's going on, and it's things that's been going on that are Black Wall Street-esque. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you feel me? They Black Wall Street-ish. And so as you go, as we're going through the book and as we're going through the podcast, man, we're gonna be giving y'all game, and then y'all make sure to look up too, see what else is popping. You know what I'm saying? So one thing, Jay, you want to talk a little bit about the banking aspect of it? You know, we had banks in the chokehold. Jay was going straight body, you know what I'm saying?
Body uppercut.
you know what I'm saying? With the banks. But you want to share a little bit about the cool stuff, some of the stuff Killer Mike doing, and just the banking, and even, I don't know if you want to share your personal, you know, aspect for as, you know, banking is a concern, you know, but I think that's a dope part to that we kind of chop it up a little bit about since we're coming out of season two.
Shout out to Michael. What's Killer Mike last name?
What is his last name?
That's his real name, Michael.
Michael. I forgot, man. But yeah. They doing the
Greenwood. He has a bank, and he has an online only bank.
Yeah.
Greenwood.
Yeah. So they not even as we're recording, not I open just yet, but I think what is it, January?
The launch date?
Yeah. I think it's January 2021, and they not even open yet, but they're already saying because it's a, it's the name.
They did
of
a soft lunch. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Soft lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Greenwood, there will be grants to Black and Latino businesses. Mm-hmm. On the website, it literally says $10,000 every month to a Black or Latino business. Mm-hmm. They will donate to nonprofits, the United Negro College Fund and the NAACP. Mm-hmm. You know how Robin Hood and Acorns do the roundup?
Yeah.
They're gonna do that, and they're gonna use that money to give to the NAACP and the United Negro College Fund. They're gonna use it through spare change roundups.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. On the website, it talks about feeding families when you create an account. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, basically, mm-hmm. Your account creation feeds families because mm-hmm. they're gonna operate how another bank operates when you deposit. Mm-hmm. They're gonna make money off your deposit. So when you open an account, the only thing about this is they're gonna feed families with it.
Right. They're gonna do something good with it. Instead of just fattening the pockets.
Yeah. Instead of being like Chuck.
Yeah. Yo, Chuck.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of being like Chuck from Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What I like about it, it's slick. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's cool. It's all online. Mm-hmm. You know, Killer Mike said maybe one day they might do brick and mortar. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's all online.
Yeah. So, because when we talk about Black Wall Street, we talk about the power that in the ownership that was in Black Wall Street. You know, you think about the you know, how deep that is. So, like, even the founders, I know, of the Greenwood Bank, it ain't like Killer Mike just pulling up. It's like he working with the mayor, isn't he, from...
Coleman Young from...
Is it Atlanta?
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
from Atlanta.
Yeah, the mayor, entrepreneur who started...
Andrew Young, I'm sorry.
Andrew Young, yeah. Entrepreneur who...
he's an activist.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He was a congressman, too.
Yeah. Congressman, mm-hmm. Mayor, activist, all of that. And even
I mean, actually, he goes back to the civil rights era, bro.
Yeah, see, I know he OG. Yeah, yeah,
he OG.
I know he OG.
Yeah,
yeah. And
but yeah, I think he's like the mentor for Killer Mike and Tip.
Because
I hear T.I. and Killer Mike talk about him all the time.
Got you. Yeah, and also Ryan Glover.
Ryan Glover. Basically, he had Bounce TV.
Yep,
which was the first African American nationwide broadcast network.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a record company.
Yeah,
and you know he had, you know, several hits on Billboard.
Right. So you got like, so it's not like they just pulling up. They got a whole team. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
They got a nice board.
Yeah.
Directors, nice management team or whatever.
Yeah. So when you talk about the banking part of it, the foundation of that is possible. I mean, is is really important, right? So that's something that's present day that's going on, you know, that that is directly tied to Black Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the website is bankgreenwood.com, just so y'all know. Bankgreenwood.com.
Dope. So, Jay, what? Let me ask you this. When it comes to banking black, let me play devil's advocate. Oh, no, I'm just going to trust my money with them, because I would, you know, Bank of America, Chase.
White ice is colder. White ice is colder.
I just want to really trust my money with, you know, Bank of America, Chase, you know, Wells Fargo, because that's safe and, you know, it's insured. You know, I go do a black owned restaurant or something, but I don't know about trusting them with my money. Like, are they legit? Should I? That's sometimes the pushback. So what does Jay with the NBA say to that person that has that kind of pushback?
Still give them a try.
Yeah.
I had an experience where, I ain't gonna lie, I got mad at a black-owned bank before. Mm-hmm. There's a black-owned bank in Houston called Unity. Mm-hmm. Unity Bank. And I got mad because I was moving my real estate holdings account mm-hmm. to Unity. I wanted to bank black. Mm-hmm. But they weren't up to speed. Because the other banks had me spoiled.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they had the general capabilities of every other bank or every other credit union. The only thing is, I was like, well, where's the app? And the app wasn't as functional as I was used to Chase being functional. Now I had to realize, like, yeah, I can get mad at them, but you still need to put your money in there anyway, because how are they ever going to get to the level of those other banks without the deposits?
Right.
See, Greenwood got a good chance. Number one, Killer Mike, real popular. Andrew Young, they real popular. They have a good PR kit, and they have tens of thousands of
already
people waiting to make deposits. Mm-hmm. Also, they're up to date. They're real, you know, online only right now. Mm-hmm. It's real.
The website looks beautiful.
Yeah, it's user friendly. So those things Unity didn't have, but Unity was functional.
Yeah,
it still is functional.
Yeah,
it's just that I guess I walked in with the wrong opinion about they should be the same just as the other ones.
Right, right.
Not thinking, Jay. Their deposit levels ain't the same.
Right, right.
So it's not gonna be the same. But I should have kept my money there because my money being there would have helped them some more. You know, based on what I know about banking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's good advice, bro, because I feel like we have to look at it in the holistic long form view and not just a right here, right now view.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think nothing for black people can get accomplished if we need it tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
Like, negative, sir.
You feel me? So that's good game right there. That's real good game. So another thing, you mentioned your real estate holding account. So not too long ago, it was a dope write-up going around about it was really 19 different families.
Oh yeah, in Georgia.
In Georgia, came together to buy 47 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a
Freedom Town.
Freedom Town.
They're gonna start a town called Freedom, Georgia.
Yeah. So in the article, it's talking about how initially it was a couple of homies, black women. It was two black women. And they were...
Shout out to the sisters, man. They be getting it done, boy. I'm telling you.
Beautiful black women, man. Yeah. So initially, they were looking at... Somebody else had something. They were saying, oh, this is a town for sale or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. They saw an ad for the town for sale.
And they was looking at that. But turns out, they couldn't really get that. But that put them on the course to get what they eventually end up buying. You know what I mean? And so it was 19 of them came together, and they're gonna, incorporate as equity ownership, you know, and it's all 47 acres together so they can incorporate it, right? That's the way that that's done. Go ahead, you take it from, you know, you deeper in real estate, so.
Just a backstory, they saw a town for sale for $1 million, which if you ever see a town for sale for $1 million, hurry up and raise that capital and get on that, because you know what I'm saying?
Explain why that's so, because you can buy $1 million with real estate, but that don't mean that you can buy a town.
Right.
For a million. So explain.
So the town that was for sale that they didn't buy, but what sparked their attention, that town has revenue already coming in because it already has services. Mm-hmm. It already had certain infrastructure in that town set up already to produce.
Right.
So, and it already had a tax base. It already had stuff like that. So it was already productive. So when they do that, first of all, there's unincorporated land and there's incorporated land.
Talk to
right?
us. Talk
so
to
like your city can buy some unincorporated land. Some people call it annexing, right? Basically, Big Bank take Little Bank. They bought this, you know what I'm saying? And they added it
to their own, to their pot.
And then they'll extend the city resources to that particular area. That way you might, oh, I don't live in this city, but this police department cover this jurisdiction and all that. Like, so you get into those particular things. But it's really corporations. These are corporations behind it. Like when somebody founded this and founded that, it's just like a company.
Season one, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah. So it's just like a company, like the paperwork behind it.
Yeah.
And most people don't see the paperwork. You're not looking for the City of Atlanta's corporation paperwork. Right, you know what I'm saying? You're not looking for that. Because you don't think it's a entity, but it is.
Yeah. And that's what's happening. They buying they buying 47 acres that they can incorporate and it'll be Freedom, Georgia. So when you drive through, it'll be Freedom, Georgia. And their sole intent and purpose is for it to be a black town, for Freedom, Georgia to be pro black.
Safe haven for black.
Safe haven for black people. Cause that's what they were mentioning in an article where they were saying like they got husbands, kids, and they like, where's the safe haven for my husband, my black husband, or my black kids when they walk outside in America? You know what I'm saying? That was one of the things they were saying, and they wanted Freedom. They want Freedom, Georgia, to be one of those places that's black owned, operated, and considerate. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. It's good. So you have you know the banking aspect. You have the land aspect. And even on the media side, when you're talking about Black Wall Street, a lot of people have been just now finding out about Black Wall Street through shows that are streaming.
Correct.
What is it? The Watchmen had Twitter buzzing a while ago because they opened up with the Black Wall Street scene on, I think it might have been their first episode or something like that. They opened up with a real Black Wall Street scene, and it had Twitter buzzing because people was like, I don't even know what Black Wall Street is, you know. And
you know what, and just so you can your point, you said I didn't even know what Black Wall Street is. What I learned is our generation don't know. So imagine a generation behind us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So like, even if all of us get it in our age bracket, we still gonna have to go back and tell the people behind us as well. Cause they're even farther and farther away from 1921.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? So I think the further you get from 1921, if no one's carrying that torch, it can be forgot about it.
100%.
And that's why we have so much of our history. Like, man, I didn't know about that until you start digging. Until you go start looking for it.
Exactly.
Because nobody's going to carry the torch on.
Yeah, because see, when you start uncovering things like this, like, they're not going to tell you the full story of Black Wall Street in your history class, unless you got a fire history teacher. But that's not going to be, you know, uncovered, because it makes America look nasty.
I doubt it. Your history teacher probably a football coach. That's actually, I'm telling that they actually, that's how it was. Y'all know I ain't lying. In high school, that's how it was. Your world geography teacher and all that, USHT, he coached football, you know, and they say he had to cover a couple of periods. That's why we ain't learn.
Hey, shout out to the public school system, man. So when it comes down to uncovering it, this is Literacy Kings. Don't do conspiracy theories. We don't do no conspiracy theories. Real life be stranger than fiction, though. You know what I'm saying? And so with Black Wall Street, they massacred, they destroyed millions of dollars of property, and then they massacred Black people, and it's not even an accurate account of how many people were killed during Black Wall Street, because they don't know how many people fled for their life, right, and how many mm-hmm. people died there, because they was dumping bodies in the water. They was murdering, burning, and mm-hmm. dumping in the water. So it's not even an accurate account of how many people got killed. But peep this though. I'll say this because I really want y'all to catch. You know how many white people were do you know how many white people that were factually responsible for that massacre that went to jail or got in any type of penalties? Zero.
Zilch.
Goose egg.
Nothing. Nada.
You know what I'm saying? You know what type of reparations or restitution that was given to Black people that had everything that was stripped and taken? Nothing. You know what I'm saying? So that this happened in America, on American soil. Why would they? Not that long ago, bro. My grandma.
Right at 100 years ago.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
One like, real generation ago.
You feel me? So like, you know, my grandma was already born. You know what I mean? So why would they volunteer that type of information? You know what I'm saying? And paint that type of picture. They not finna do that. You know, so like Jay said, it's on us. You know, we have to look it up. We have to carry the torch, you know, but that's the thing in media. Jay was even telling me about the show. I just started it. It's called Lovecraft Country.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about like, hey man, later, you know, in the season, they gonna have they gonna go through Black Wall Street, because the show Lovecraft Country is like, it's a horror, but it's crazy because the horror in Lovecraft Country is the fact that it's set in the early 1900s, Jim Crow America. So it's a black guy traveling, and he like looking for his father, you know, but this is Jim Crow. If you get caught after sundown, if you black, you can get lynched, and
right.
He's trying to travel across country for that. And then it's a bunch of extra like, you know, sci-fi and all that stuff that go into it, but it's a lot of historical information in it as well, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so,
but shout out to the media for like starting to put this stuff,
you feel what
like,
I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Like really in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's Black Wall Street. They talk about it and reference it even in that. So it's just important that that's a part of it. So the next episode is gonna be the opening. The next episode is going to be, we're going to be opening up
the roots.
Yeah, the roots of Black Wall Street. And so how did Jay, let's just say, we don't want to give too many spoilers away. I don't want to give too much spoilers away. This is just my grandma used to say, wet your whistle. You know what I'm saying? It's just a wet your whistle. You know what I'm saying?
Them a ski taste.
Yeah, ski taste. Just a sip. You know what I mean? But let's just—I feel like we should say something about this, because this is cold, man. And I didn't know this about the connection with the Native Americans.
That was the biggest thing
you
I learned.
Feel me? Should we say that now? Should we?
Well, we can say it without going into detail.
Yeah. You wanna talk about that?
Well, I will put it like this. What they meant for bad,
mm-hmm.
the Lord meant for good.
Yeah.
Because we were slaves, mm-hmm. African Americans, and because we were slaves, even to Indians.
Mm-hmm. Some people don't. Some people didn't always know that. We black people were slaves to Indians, to Native Americans.
Yeah. When they became enslaved,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know, we had to move with them.
Mm-hmm. Trail of Tears.
The Trail of Tears. So we're gonna go more into that
and all of that.
The five tribes, and we're gonna go more into the five civilized tribes and all of that. Mm-hmm. We're gonna go more into that, but basically, that's how we got into Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't even know.
I did not know. I was like, what?
Yeah, bro. Yeah. So the history of that, the history of that is powerful. You know what I'm saying? Do we wanna because we gotta go into detail, but do we wanna say how Black Wall Street got popping? Like that the main source of what started the wealth?
For the city of Tulsa?
Or? Yeah. And how that happened? Or is that too much?
You can go ahead. Because we're going to go more into detail.
Yeah. Okay. Just a splash. So, peep it. And this a whole message, really. You know what I'm saying? This a whole message because, the Indians had black slaves. And then black people got to, got to Oklahoma, got to Tulsa off of that. And here it is back then. You know, it's Wild Wild West. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, what black people were, once they were getting free from the Indians, they were winding up on land and claiming the land. And then Tulsa started booming for oil. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
They
hit the oil.
It came up.
Yeah, so then black people were on land, on oil-producing land that they had staked claims for, mm-hmm. as free men and women. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so that resource really started, it's safe to say, that mm-hmm. started the wealth being generated.
Right.
I'm going to stop it right there.
Yeah. We're going to bust it down some more.
We're going to bust it down more, but I just want to... I want to bring up, and I can kick it to you, but I want to bring up how we talk about Black Wall Street, man. We need the new Black Wall Street. And we talk about in the podcast by diversifying our business. And I feel like y'all got to be the same business. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so seeing how Black Wall Street started off of a real deal asset, income producing asset, not just off of like
fluff.
Partners getting together, and mm-hmm. we got random trend businesses, Instagram pages.
That was a whole industry that led that.
Yeah. So, do you want to drop that a little bit about you know, I don't know, maybe talking a little bit about the importance of.
I want to talk about economic detour.
Ooh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. And then I ain't gonna give you too much because we're gonna go more into it on the next episode. But economic detour is when we were forced to get our hustle on because we were not accepted in white establishments. That's because good. Our lives were on the line, because we could get hurt trying to patronize their businesses.
Yeah.
So economic detour, we had no choice but to reroute all our funds to ourselves. See, when you talk about, can this be recreated? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to take the detour? Is the question.
Good.
Are you going to say, I'm going to purposefully reroute
that's good
my money to black owned establishments?
Right.
Because they had no choice.
Right.
Theirs was forced economic detour.
Right.
As opposed to now, we have choice. So I think the biggest thing hindering us from quote unquote recreating Black Wall Street is economic detour. Are we down for it or nah?
Yeah.
Because they didn't have a choice. The decision got made for them.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
We were just talking about it. I can't even remember it was on our podcast, but the spending power of
like 1.5 1.6 trillion
the spending power that we have. And so, like you said, the question is,
let me ask you this: if the stimulus package was 2 trillion, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. the stimulus package that the government said this is the amount that will stimulate the United States and save them from out of a recession through the coronavirus. If the stimulus package was $2 trillion and we have 1.6 trillion in the African American spending power each year, that ought to tell you something. About the numbers. Let the numbers talk to you.
Yeah.
Because the government pumped $2 trillion in because they thought this country was finna go down due to the coronavirus. So think about how much power we have. We almost have that in the black community every year.
Yeah.
And if the government tell you this is the number that's gonna save us from ruin, then what you think it's gonna do for us? That's 13 to 15% of the population.
Man, that's hard, bro. That's hard. That's beautiful. Yeah. So I think, and I feel like that is what it comes down to when you know it really answers the question. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't give you any valuable details that are necessary, but it answers the question, can we do another Black Wall Street? Can we make it? I believe with like what you were just saying about, you know, making those choices, you know what I mean? That they could, it wasn't a choice back then, but making those choices tied to understanding our history and, you know, applying it, we can ultimately do what we want to do. You know what I'm saying? But it's not gonna come easy or overnight.
I think because we are in different times now, I actually think it could be bigger.
I agree.
Now,
I agree.
It's gonna take twice as much focus though, because we're not forced to patronize with ourselves. At least not yet.
Right.
We're not forced to patronize with only ourselves.
Yeah.
But because we have so many more dollars in the African American economy, I think it could be bigger than
it was before. Yeah. I agree. Because it's more connectivity. Because back then, Black Wall Street, it was based off the Greenwood district.
It was regional.
People, yeah, you had to live there. And people were literally coming there for that reason, moving and coming there for that reason. But now, well, we global. You know what I mean? So it could definitely be.
I mean, you got apps popping up that are looking for like black owned business apps and stuff like that. We buy black and stuff like that. You have that coming up. And I think if that catch fire,
We out of there.
Yeah, it's out of there because you're not regional no more. That's like putting Greenwood and Durham and all them together.
Exactly. At the same time.
That's what they should be afraid of.
Yeah, straight up.
And if you're going to be afraid of anything, be afraid of that.
Straight up. That's what's up, man. Well, look, this is just a brief overview, man. It's a brief overview of what we getting into. Jay, you got anything else? If not, we could wrap it up, man, because I'm itching a little bit to talk about more.
Man,
than
look,
I should
I'm trying
be
not to give y'all everything.
This brief overview, you feel me?
So we're gonna go into how things were set up and how things were organized. So if you really, the roots will give you the best chance of recreating the part that Hannibal Johnson talked about, the roots of the Black Wall Street. That'll give you clues for recreation.
Yeah. The Master P, the No Limit Chronicles. If you watched it, once you get through watching it, you got a very solid understanding of how he built No Limit.
Correct.
That's how this book is with Black Wall Street.
Yeah. No doubt.
You're like Jay saying, after you read or after you listen to the podcast, you will have a solid blueprint of, oh, that's how they did it.
That's how they did it.
So if you want to know how they built Black Wall Street, make sure you subscribe. Make sure that you're sharing the podcast and make sure that you're tuning in, because we're going to break down the steps, you know what I'm saying, to how they built Black Wall Street and up and bring it current day with new and inventive ways that we can add to it. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, I'm good, man. That's all I have. I ain't giving you nothing else today. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna save that heat for next episode.
That's what's up, man. Welcome to season 3 of the Literacy Kings.
Welcome.
We're gonna be breaking down Black Wall Street from Ride to Renaissance by Hannibal Johnson. You can grab the book.
Please grab the book. It has beautiful artwork on the front.
Yeah.
By Hannibal B. Johnson.
Yeah.
Black Wall Street, From Riot to Renaissance in Tulsa's Historic Greenwood District. Please grab. This is a collector's item.
Straight up. I put the link to the show notes. I put the link in the show notes. If you got any questions, thoughts, comments, make sure you leave us a voice message. You can go to the site and leave us a voice message. Never hesitate to hit us up on Instagram at Literacy Kings, or send us a email to literacykings@gmail.com. rate, review, tell your people about us, man. We knew that this was important, but man, the love y'all been showing,
yeah, man, appreciate the love,
it's crazy, you know, yeah, what I'm saying. So we just want to keep putting out great content for y'all, man. Yeah, so that's all we got for today on episode one. We'll catch y'all next week with the first official episode of Black Wall Street. Love
Nah. Reading is fundamental.